Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I am a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me, across from me in our studio / the southwest corner of our bedroom, is my lovely wife, Melissa Ruth, formerly known as Hoagland, currently known as Nickerson.
Hello.
Always, there's a few things. She's great on the pod. There's a couple of bad moments. It's usually the beginning and the end. It's awkward. I don't set you up for success.
No, it's awkward, but I think other people can embrace how awkward it is to start and end, and I can't.
Yeah.
I
thought you were going to say that people embrace your awkwardness and they like it, and I was like, let's not get carried
away.
That's
not true.
I mean, maybe. Maybe. Anyways, everybody, thank you for tuning in to our little podcast that could. We are happy to have you. For those of you who are new, sometimes I talk to Melissa here and we do it. Sometimes we talk to guests. A lot of it is unknown right now because, you know, the times, they are changing. We don't know. We don't know who I'm going to talk to. I don't know when I'm going to have the opportunity to. I don't know. It's hard to say. And I think we ran our course with Zoom calls.
I don't want to do one more Zoom.
I think that, you know, virtual entertainment fatigue is a real thing. I think that, you know, I've listened to some really big podcasts and they're doing the Zooms and I'm just like, it's just not quite good enough. It's like a peanut butter jelly, peanut butter sandwich when you're like,
jelly.
I could use the jelly. Still good. I could use the jelly.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you on a peanut butter and honey sandwiches?
They're good.
Yeah. Do you like them more?
I like jelly more.
I had a friend growing up, Carson, in middle school. Every single day, that's what his mom would pack him. He would eat a peanut butter and honey sandwich. Oh, Carson.
Yeah,
you know,
our kids love them.
Yeah, they went to the same church as us, the Taylors. Every single day, Carson would have a very strange memory of mine. But anyways, everybody, thank you for tuning in to our podcast today. You know, as Melissa and I, you know, sometimes we're going to give updates what's going on in our life. Sometimes we talk topics. Today, I wanted to talk to you about pets because I want to talk about childhood pets. I want to talk about our pets as kids. I want to talk about the pets that we currently have, why we have those ones, why we don't have other ones.
Right.
You know, these, I think, are shaping decisions.
These are
huge decisions in your children's lives and that your parents made and so on and so forth. And so it was in my mind today because we're trying to do our best for the kids to have some extracurriculars during COVID. And one thing that is just a uniquely wonderful San Diego option is you sign them up for some kayaking classes.
Yeah. Last week they joined a kayaking team.
Yeah. And
in Mission Bay.
And Joel has not taken to it. He doesn't hate it. But
he's a friend.
His friend Bobby is there, which is great. Mm-hmm. And then Gloria got invited to go be on the rowing team.
The racing, yep.
Yeah, so she's crushing it. I mean, she's kind of built like that. She's stocky. She's so strong.
Yeah,
it makes sense. And she's made some friends there.
She's just so athletic. They're both so athletic. Yeah.
So where it's at is on Fiesta Island. And if you're not familiar with the Fiesta Island,
it's right by SeaWorld.
It is the trashiest place in San Diego. Not, and it's
on the water.
Well, it's an island. So of course you're on the water. So it really is just this island right in the middle of Mission Bay. Mm-hmm. And it's where people go to go do water sports. So it's not like a nice beach. And it's not like a lake that has nice lake homes and loading.
There's homes. There's
people load their boats and their jet skis and their
toys.
What was the thing with the?
Oh yeah, we saw this is surfing, but with a sail.
You forgot what you
sail surfing.
Sail surfing.
No, that's it's not it. Windsurfing.
Windsurfing. It's all there. They have ramps and stuff. So the stuff that's happening on the water is very fun. But the sand, it's not sand, it's dirt.
Oh, and there's always horses.
There's some
trailers
horses
with horses.
So many, and it really is just there's a ton of MAGA hats
So many flags.
So many flags. It's fine.
So many trucks flags.
We like it. Yeah. We went with our friends to go jet ski there. We like it. And this is where the camp is. So we're going out there. But right in the middle of all of it is also a dog park.
Or like huge,
right, like, in the middle of the island. The island within the island. And it's so funny because
it's fenced off.
I was telling you too, we saw some people running around the island. It's like, why here? There are so many beautiful runs in San Diego. Why is this the spot?
Right.
But anyway, so we're driving around and
it's just dirt.
Claire starts talking the dogs in the dirt. And there was a moment that I thought very perfectly encapsulated why we have the pets that we do. And why? Because it's who we are as people. We saw a dog who would, you know, there's a lot of dogs out there, but we saw one that was having a good time playing around in the sand and the mud and the water and kind of going back and forth, rolling around.
Pretty dog, yeah.
A very pretty dog. Mm-hmm. It was a husky, which we love huskies. And I think we might have had the thought almost simultaneously, or at least I blurted it out, where I go, okay, and now you have to go put that muddy dog in your car. Like, that's how you're responsible for that dog getting clean, that dog smelling. I can't do it with, I love dogs. I mean, from a personality standpoint, they're 10 times better than a cat. It's not even close. But there's so much more work.
They're a lot of work.
And you are and I don't like riding in people's cars that when they have dogs. I don't like the hair. I mean, I remember, like, I have a dog family. My mom loves dogs. My grandma loves dogs. They all love dogs. I just don't like sitting on couches that dogs come up and try and sniff my food. We were at friends' houses last night where the dog knocked the ice cream bowl out of our friend's or our daughter's hands. These are dog things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like having your best friend be super high maintenance. It's like having a super high maintenance best friend who's also a little bipolar and crazy.
Yeah.
Because dogs are nuts. They're insane. Mm-hmm. They're wild creatures who love you and jump on you. And I feel like, do you feel that same way where we see dogs all the time? And Claire, our little one, loves dogs.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, there's the puppers. And we were at a park yesterday and she started petting a stranger's dog.
Yeah. Right? And they talk for like 20 minutes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you, in those moments, do you go the same? Because I actually feel like you have been warming up to dogs more lately. Like, I feel like you speak more positively about them.
I like the way she is around them.
Right.
But like the things that get me are like when two dogs are barking at each other. I lose it. And we live by a park and we hear dogs barking at each other.
Yes.
And it's like chaos.
It's absolute madness when it happens.
Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is the care. Like, our cat got a cut and I like lost it.
Right. Yeah. There was a little bit of an open wound on one of our cats.
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I just like lost my mind that day. I think I like called you in the vet parking lot crying. I was like, I don't know what we're supposed to do. I made you call them to confirm the details.
Uh-huh.
But because I had all the kids and then the cat, and I was just like, yeah. So I just know myself and I know like I could not handle the barking.
Yeah.
And like if one of them got hurt,
right?
Like if a dog got hurt, I couldn't.
And they're so much more wild that they're more likely to get hurt and then to come to you. Whereas a cat could have its like leg broken and its tail missing and it's like, I'm fine.
Yeah. Like our friends and
like the cat would look at you and tell you to stop being so dramatic.
Yeah. Yeah, the dog's energy matches like my like anxiety about caring for this animal.
Yeah, you don't need anything more wild in the house.
Yeah.
No more rambunctiousness. We have children for that.
Well, like our friends in Culver City, the girls love their dogs and one of their dogs like stepped on something and had like a whole bloated foot that they had to give him like antibiotics every couple hours.
Cone and stuff every once in a while.
He's literally dragging this foot around. like because he stepped on like a burr or something. And I just like, what?
Yeah.
Like
I actually
just
seen,
like a mini horse or something.
Seeing
I don't know.
Our friend get upset at his dog was a good reminder of like, this is the full picture with dogs. Is that sometimes your dog is just like too much.
And you have to get really serious and authoritative right. with a dog. And yeah. I can't do that. So we would have a bad dog.
Well, I actually, so, you know, I obviously have, if you guys listen to the podcast, you know this. So I don't have the best history with dogs.
No.
In that. When I was young, I was 5 years old. I got bit in the face by a Great Dane. Almost took my eye out. Like 50 plus stitches.
Yeah, it was
stitches.
Like your whole cheek.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like half your face.
Grandpa died that year and my folks got a divorce. Not the best kindergarten year. But it was not like that. I don't have trauma towards dogs, but it definitely doesn't make me warm towards dogs because the...
You're not warm towards dogs.
Because the dog that we did have chose a different family. I think I've said this on the podcast.
Yeah,
too,
yeah.
Where we had a dog named Murphy. He ran away and he legit picked a different family. Like he preferred...
Like you found him, right?
At a different... Yeah, he was going... He was running away to go to a different family's house. And he would stay at that house. And we would get him, and then he would go back to that house.
So he's I'm good here.
He's like, no, I like the vibe here. He was also like a wild dog. He would just like, we'd see him like, my dad always said it, like he was like he was like the leader of the pack because he would see him sometimes in the neighborhood running with like a pack of dogs behind him.
Yes. He had too much alpha in him.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm good. I don't need to. So then we get a couple years later, we got a cat the same way, same way that we got our first cat here, which is somebody else was getting rid of the cat.
Right.
Was people across the street who I babysat for, they got a cat and I think he was just scratching the young kids a little too much.
Yeah, they had little kids.
Kids. And they're like, okay, so we ended up getting that cat. His name was Shredder. We named it Yehudi. We named things Yehudi because when my grandma, oftentimes with the help of alcohol, would forget the name of her family members, she would call them Yehudi.
Mm-hmm.
So when
like,
we could, Yehudi, come over here.
And she had five kids.
Yeah,
so,
she would also refer to her children sometimes as an SOB, which is hilarious. That's a self-inflicting wound right there, Isla. God rest her soul. So when I see like people talking about their dogs, how much they love them, mm-hmm. I'm happy for them. I'm happy that you have. But I also know that dog sometimes. It has to annoy you and cause you more problems than any cat has in the history of cats. Barking in the middle of the night, keeping the neighbors up, destroying furniture. Cats don't destroy furniture.
Not in the same magnitude.
Of course not. Yeah.
We have friends like their dogs like ate their couches.
Who?
The McNeils.
Their dogs straight up ate
like
their couches.
You know, they have those big dogs that you have to like put in crates
stuff. I suppose there is like there are some small dog owners who are listening to this going
that are the it's more like a cat
exactly
it's just a whole different magnitude.
Yeah, but you know the cat kind of takes care of its own poop situation and that's a big deal. I don't want to deal with that.
I know, but some people just hate litter boxes.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I get that,
but so this is we never had a litter box. Our cat just
knew.
My dad trained the cat probably in ways that would be frowned upon.
Did he have a dog door?
No.
Or like a little cat door?
The cat would wake us up in the middle of the night to take it out.
Nice.
And so, yeah, in ways that are probably frowned upon in modern times.
You can all guess how that was.
It trained the cat.
It's the same way you train a dog, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But... I don't know. That's the other thing too. I don't want to train an animal. A cat comes pretty self-trained. You know,
I don't need.
How does the cat?
I don't need
out
any
the
of
kitty
this.
Litter. It does. Yeah.
No, the kittens figured out pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, I'll backtrack on that. So The we grew up no litter box. Our cat just always went to the bathroom outside.
Nice.
Which was fantastic. It was you know, but I didn't know any better. But I remember going to your house and you guys had the litter box in the laundry room. That was the go-to.
Yeah.
And and actually when you moved, that was the go-to spot for the Hoagland family litter box.
It was always in the laundry room,
which is smart because it kind of drowns out the scent. Mm-hmm. Now, I have never been able to financially provide for you in a the sense room. That we have a room dedicated to the laundry, which oftentimes, if I recall, the laundry room is just a room, is a hallway on the way to the garage.
Yeah. No, we've had one garage in our marriage,
yes. And we gave that back to the bank.
To the bank.
And
our washer and dryer outdoor.
here in San Diego, the place that we live in, the washer and dryer outdoor, which I remember when we moved here, people were like, no, that's weird even for SoCal.
Yeah, no one. The garage got converted, and a lot of times you can put the laundry in the garage.
Right, right. And the cat litter? So ours is in our hallway. In one of the most trafficked.
We just try and change it a lot. Actually, our cats go outside a lot.
Which is nice.
Which is great.
So, but I do remember, you growing up, I had the one cat, but there were no responsibilities with the cat. We had to feed the cat every once in a while. And Butch, my Uncle Butch, was in charge of brushing the cat. There was a cat that my dad took a brush of, and, you know, a cat brush, and just said, it said, like, Butch, please brush me, signed Yehudi. My dad wrote that on the brush.
Nice.
It's a very Don thing to do.
It is. And like a little passive aggressive, yes, exactly. But also like a little ownership.
And he would do it. And it was very much a cat thing where the cat liked it, but would also kind of bite you.
You had a crazy cat.
That Yehudi is a cat for the ages.
A bachelor.
She
was a bachelor cat. I call all cats male. Because I've only had male cats.
And so when I left for school, my dad took Yehudi down to Oregon, where he moved in with his mom, and Yehudi was there for a while and then just left, as cats do, you know.
He had to be pretty old at that point.
And then she reemerged 2 years later, still alive.
Yeah, he was like, Yehudi's back. What?
We hadn't seen this cat in years. And we were like, does the cat still know who my dad is? And then he wanted back in because my dad would feed our cat just whole cans of tuna, which you think is very strange.
Just like chicken of the sea tuna.
Just normal bumblebee tuna.
Yeah.
Not Friskies.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever, but just and you say what you will, but maybe Yehudi was the equivalent. I mean, Yehudi was a lot like a Nickerson in this way that, you know, Nickersons drink and smoke and eat bad and live
binge eat,
you know, long into their 80s and plus and outlive their life expectancy in a lot of ways. Maybe Yehudi was just one of the family members like that, despite eating whole cans of bumblebee tuna.
She was very unkept, too. Her hair.
All right, there's no need to take
all
shots.
All sorts
now.
Of different colors. Well, I mean, she was a stray, or not a stray.
She was never a stray.
But she had like patches of like brown and then like red and black.
She was wild there towards the end. She wasn't always like that.
But she also just always sprawled out.
She was so strange.
I've never seen a cat.
She would lay belly down on the back of recliner chairs with her arms and legs dangling. Like all four of them, like a throw rug.
Yeah.
Like she would be like a throw rug. And then she would also lay on her back a lot, just full legs spread, like with her one paw up to.
Which is what your dad does.
Which is only my dad has the one arm up with the remote. But you also.
Just a real loungy cat.
I didn't think we were ever going to have animals. I knew if we were going to, it was going to be a cat, because a dog is just more high maintenance than we can do. Plus, I leave a lot. So it's just another thing for you to deal with while I'm gone.
Right. Yeah, some people are like, my home security is this huge dog I have.
Yes, yes.
And to me, that just seems more like a liability.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
Just to maintain and
right.
handle a huge old dog. But yeah, we were, you know, we house sat a couple times and the dogs would just like be barking and it drove you crazy.
Right.
And I didn't know what to do either.
I can't.
I'm not a dog
Which
whisperer.
Which place do we house it?
The Crumbs in Kirkland.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. And
I just...
We had some friends over and the dog would not stop barking.
Like I said, it's just having
barking.
A very needy, high maintenance friend.
And you don't like a lot of extra noise.
No.
Like for neighbors.
No.
You know? And so now you got the barking dog.
When does... Let me ask this. When does... Do you know anybody who has become a first generation dog lover? Because I think that dog people remain dog people mm-hmm. because they have an attachment to a childhood dog, which clearly I do not.
Yeah.
But we both had cats that we liked.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. but you're not like crazy attached to your cat. But you were, right? Because you had
yeah.
one cat growing
mm-hmm.
up.
So I really wanted a cat.
Right.
Because there is a pet store at a mall that okay. we would go to, and all the little kittens would be in the window.
This is in Japan?
This was probably in Colorado.
Okay, so pre-Japan.
So I moved after my kindergarten year from Colorado to Japan.
Okay, so you would go to the pet store in Colorado.
And see all these little baby kittens.
Adorable.
So cute.
So cute.
So we moved like every 3 years so with the military. So my parents were like, when we get to Japan... You can get it. You can uh-huh. get a cat.
Uh-huh.
So like we got to move first, right?
Right.
So we're not going to move a cat. So then we got to Japan and we had friends from Colorado, their Air Force friends, you
right,
know,
right.
That we immediately had there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were there before us. So they show up and they have like a huge dog and some cats. And
right.
then they have a stray cat that followed the dog home like on a walk.
Okay.
So I didn't take to him.
Yeah.
We're in our like military housing and uh-huh. it's like temporary housing mm-hmm. on base. It's almost my birthday. I'm turning 6, I guess.
Okay.
And there's this cat and it's like all white.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh, I wanted a tabby cat. I wanted an orange tabby cat.
That's hilarious.
And finally my mom was like, hey, this is going to be our cat. Our friends have a stray cat. We promised you a cat. Here's the cat.
Right.
And once I kind of acknowledged that, ended up totally loving him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't stay white. He got like this crazy cool gray patterned like back.
Moshi,
and
right.
tail. Yep. So we named him Moshi, which means hello, like Moshi Moshi in Japan, in Japanese. And he was a super loud cat.
He had the strangest meow.
Yeah. He had some Siamese.
I knew Moshi.
He had some Siamese in him.
Okay.
And so he was so loud.
So he would sing. He would do.
Just like the Disney movies.
Which.
On the keyboard.
Racist?
Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yikes. Big yikes.
So Moshi went with us from Okinawa to Texas to Washington State to California.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had him from first grade to when I went to college.
That's crazy.
Yeah. This cat... Either we would see him getting on the airplane in the cargo area.
Yes, classic.
And we'd be like waving at him and stuff. And he'd be meowing at the baggage assistant.
Not meowing.
It was a huge meow.
It's like a...
Meow.
It was like a pronounced...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was as if he was an adult reading the word meow. Meow.
Yeah, it was like a performance.
Yeah.
He's like, I am supposed to meow.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was saying the word meow is what he was saying. He was not meowing.
No.
He was speaking the word meow. Meow. But long and drawn out.
Very
like,
long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a foghorn.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he was a real strange cat, indoor, outdoor, like yours and ours. Mm-hmm. And
some people get down on that, right? They're like, you've got to keep. I've read some stuff on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, like here we have coyotes.
Yes.
But we're not like in a canyon.
No.
So they don't leave it. They don't bother
us. As a matter of fact, when I got up at 4 a.m. To use the bathroom last night and I walked by your phone, you had a little next door thing about some coyotes.
Oh, yeah. They were like, get your fur babies in. Oh, yeah. Every day the coyotes are on next door. Oh, yeah.
I want to do an episode where we just read our next door things because the people who are... Some of them are like, hey, this is important information in your life. And other ones are like, I saw a coyote today on 67th and Alamo. And you're like, and? What am I supposed to do with that information? You know?
I know. It's too much. It's pretty entertaining.
There are... It has to be an animal bigger than a coyote to get my attention. Coyote is like, okay. You see a cougar? Okay.
Right.
Make sure you post about that.
Not that much exciting stuff happens.
But that's the difference between, what's it called again, neighborhood or...
Next door.
Next door and the news.
Yeah. This stuff doesn't make
a
the news.
A coyote is next door. A bear is the news. A bear makes the news. We get bears in East County.
Do we?
Every once in a while. I thought the Ashes had that or somebody else, some friends. I think we've had some people.
Oh, yeah. Our Northwest friends get bears. Yeah.
Listen, guys, I don't really talk to our family friends. As a matter of fact, I tried to do an episode on family friends, you know, and visiting family friends, and Melissa was just kind of,
I know.
I get it. I understand. Back to animals. So I feel like we were always going to be
Cat family.
Always going to be a cat family. Yeah. I respect people's enthusiasm about dogs. I get it. I see, you know, I feel the same way about dogs as I do guns.
Okay.
I get why you're into it. I get it.
I like talking to dog owners about their dog.
Yeah. I like talking to gun owners about their guns. I like their excitement. I like their enthusiasm. I like their knowledge and their passion. And it's their right to have that dog or that gun. It's just not for me. It just doesn't do anything
it's
for
a lot of work.
Me. It is. And I just think, okay, this is a hard to define question too. Because dogs have so much more personality and it's so much easier to get attached to them emotionally, I would project that it's harder when they pass as well.
I definitely think so.
Yeah, because people get shook up over losing their dogs. And then their cats too, but dogs, people like have sick days and stuff, you know?
Yeah, cats are like, oh, you hear something in the night and you're like, oh, they jumped on a piece of furniture. And a dog, you're like, oh my gosh, what do you need?
The cat was,
you know?
At times the cat was hardly alive anyways. Like the dog is a personality in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And like we have the two cats. All right. So we'll talk about our animals for a little bit. We have Fritter and Donut. Donut Hole is his full name, but he's gone by Fritter. And like all good animals, they have a million nicknames.
Well, yes. So the kids, when people ask, I'm like, it's Apple Fritter. And they're like, it's just Fritter. And I'm like, down at the vet, it says Apple Fritter.
His name is Apple Fritter.
He's named after a big donut.
And the little one is named after a little donut.
A little donut.
Apple Fritter.
Yeah.
And Donut Hole.
Mm-hmm.
Those are their names.
Now, you named the cats.
I suggested the names of the cats.
They wanted, like, mittens.
They
were 7 and 5.
Our kids are too young to name cats.
They would have been, like, Sparkles.
When you
or
name
something.
Your kids, when your kids name their, you get, that's how you get like a Boots. Or they'll name them like Paw because they'll just look at a thing on
Kitty.
Them.
Yeah.
We named him Kitty. Oh, that was Jenny's mom. Yeah.
No, I know a kid who named a dog or a cat like Sparkles.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Yehudi's original name was Shredder, named after the Ninja Turtle villain.
Yeah, like a TV character.
But I think when you mm-hmm. take in, because when we took in Fritter, his name was Peep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The cat does not know its name either. There's no way. Mm-mm. You call cat anything. They respond to the noise. I think a dog knows its name.
It's the inflection or something, you know, in your voice. Yeah.
But when a cat goes, listen, when our cats go, particularly. Yeah.
Well, Fritter is getting older.
Fritter's kind of starting to do that old cat meltdown thing mm-hmm. where he's getting a little more mentally unstable. Yes. A little more on edge.
We have the house like childproofed for him.
Yeah.
No plastic bags.
Yeah. Yeah.
No he eats, food.
It could be his diet that's going to be the end of him because he eats plants. He eats plastic bags. He loves plastic bags. Mm-hmm. He cannot eat enough plastic bags. Our the previous owner of him warned us about that and I didn't buy it. And then two days later, were cleaning up poop that had a plastic bag in it. You're like, what in the world?
Yeah. And then they both go in the toilet.
And they both drink out of the toilet. Which is crazy. I've told this to you before. Like we kind of, there's a little phrase in the house where you and I, when the kids are away, particularly Gloria, who loves the cat so much, as we go, Fritter, you are the worst cat. And I do believe that. I think he's the worst cat. But
jumps on the table all the time.
The worst cat's not a big deal still.
Yeah.
The worst dog, like, cost you a lawsuit.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Like,
cats are just a nuisance.
The worst dog, hypothetically, bites the neighbor kid.
Right. Hypothetically.
So the stakes are so much lower. Yeah. The worst cat, you know, pukes in the closet or whatever. And you're like, this is so annoying. Yeah. But.
Oh, and Fritter gets himself stuck in our van all the time.
That was like one the other day when it was like 108. And he was like,
I was like, he's going to overheat.
We didn't even know he's in there. Yeah. As soon as that van door opens, it'll just
be like a stroke of luck, too. Yeah. We'll be like, oh, I think there's a water bottle that we should grab. And then we grab it and we're like, what are you doing in here?
Oh, man.
He does that in our shed. So he'll jump in our shed. We open the door and we'll lose him for a couple days sometimes.
Yeah. We take him to the vet. A lot, though, when we get to be healthy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The vet, which, if you're curious, is right next to the Salvation Army Croc Center. How's that for a segue? Mm. Did you see it coming?
With the eye rub, it's, you know, you're back.
Melissa, this isn't video. All right. We're not Rogan. Guys, real quick, before we continue to talk about our dogs and cats and stuff, I'd like to tell you a little bit about the Salvation Army Croc Center and the need that they have right now to raise some money for some scholarships for kids and families in the community. As you guys know, that the Nickerson family has been very involved in the Croc Center for many, many years. And I used mm-hmm. to work there, and Melissa works there. And one of the programs that they do that are so important that was impacted in a very negative way this year by COVID is the Heroes Program. The Heroes Program goes to support scholarships for kids and families. A $5 donation will pay for a month of karate. $25 will allow a child to take an 8-week ballet class. $75 gift will allow a scholarship applicant to have piano lessons. $100 will cover one child's tuition and Croc Kids Junior Theater Program company performance. These are all programs that our family has done that mm-hmm. we believe in and that we support and that we would love you to consider giving some money to so as to support some kids and families and individuals and seniors in our community who financially wouldn't be able to do so otherwise. So if you guys wanted to help out, you could go to sd.croccenter, that's Croc Center with a K, croccenter.org, and click on the big red button to make a donation today. Once again, that is sd.croccenter.org, and click on the big red button to make a donation today. Salvation Army doing the most good. They didn't put that in there, but I threw it in there.
Nice.
I'm doing a Salvation Army event in a couple weeks.
That's right.
In Florida.
Yeah.
Where I don't know.
You can do anything.
You can do anything. No rules, baby. No rules. So with the cats, you were saying, like, I think about this a lot. We have a 12-year-old cat. 13-year-old cat?
No, how old's Fritter? He's got a year on Joel. So he's like 14.
We have a 14-year-old cat.
Yeah.
Which mm-hmm. is pretty old. Yes. And then how old is Donut?
Donut's like 5, pushing 6.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I guess he's probably 5 because Claire's 6.5. So how we came about these cats was, like we said, fritter came from a coworker
uh-huh.
who was moving. And Joel in kindergarten was writing all about his black cat in his journal.
Right. Mm.
He was always writing, because he had to write a journal for school, about his cat. Like, and we were like, is this imaginary? Like, are you pretending you have a cat? Like,
right, right.
A lot of kids have animals. So he was always writing about his black cat. And then the coworker needed a home for her cat. And so it just worked out perfect.
Yeah. And it was really nice. They needed a home. And then the other one, Donnie, this happens a lot where just someone randomly in your community, there's a bunch of cats all of a sudden.
Yeah. They're like, hey, there's like 8 kittens. Does anybody want one?
And that's how we ended up getting him. And there's been a couple close calls of getting a third, but so far we've, you know.
I think 2 is the right number.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Well, what I was going to say is, so our middle child, Gloria, is our most attached to the cats.
Yeah.
She loves them mm-hmm. so much. They sleep in her bed. She adores them. Cats are her favorite animal. She has posters
they
of
cats. They calm her.
They calm her. Mm-hmm. She's very independent. She's very cat-like in that way. Mm-hmm. Gloria is 10.
Mm-hmm. Almost 11, yeah.
The average age of a cat, a fully indoor cat, is 17 years.
Right.
That's not, they can live to the ripe old age. That's very, very high.
Yeah.
I just Googled mm-hmm. and said, what's the lifespan? It said 2 to 16. That means that what it said is it's 2 to 5 for outdoor cats, like fully outdoor cats.
Like without
an owner.
Owners.
It's not very long. It's a short life. But
pretty short.
Coyotes.
Yeah.
You know. And then it looks like here, based on a couple of the other things here, is that, yeah, it's going to be in
the next couple of years.
Yeah, it's going to mm-hmm. be, I mean, he seems very healthy. Like he said, he is, you know, he's getting a little more crazy, but it doesn't, you know, like the oldest, they go to like 20.
See, and I told the kids recently, like, that fritter wasn't going to live that much longer. And you were in the background like, no, why? Gosh. No. And
there
I was like,
are a couple
oh,
things.
I'm just kind of prepping him a little bit.
That was, you said another thing recently too that I couldn't believe you said it in front of the kids. It's funny because I'm the clear loudmouth of the family by far. But you will say things that I go, oh my gosh, what are you saying? And maybe it's because I like pride myself as like the high EQ person.
Yeah.
I was like, no, 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 you have to manage people's emotions.
You're going to like say 2 nice things first and then the negative thing or something.
Right.
Yeah. And I
might just try and, if Fritter dies, I might just try and get one that looks a lot like him and replace him. Just Indiana Jones style. Just like, oh, no, 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 he's here. I mean, I know.
That's Fritter.
That's Fritter. He looks different. He smells different. He's taller.
Smaller.
He's taller. And he's 10 years younger, but he found the fountain of youth. Fritter.
It's youthful Fritter.
It is youthful Fritter. It's Fritter. You guys watch. It's
he's
like
reincarnated.
Exactly. Exactly. He's reincarnation of Fritter. So do you worry about that? I feel like when Gloria, especially if it happens in the next 2 years, because I think if she gets into middle school, she'll get a little bit older, a little more emotionally mature. But mm-hmm. I'm just like, if that cat died today, we would lose Gloria for a month.
Well, you're right. You're right. You're right.
I don't know if we should just like never let him outdoors. That's not a good option.
Right.
Because everything terrible that he eats is inside. He's still pretty active. He's still out there jumping around mm-hmm. and stuff.
When we used to walk to school, he followed Claire to school.
He's got a lot of personality. As my dad said, that he has a little dog in him.
He does.
Do mm-hmm. you think if we lost both our cats, bang, bang, for whatever reason, I'm not shooting them in that scenario.
Okay.
Bang, bang. Don't worry.
Just a hypothetical.
Would you consider ever getting a dog?
I would not.
Well, fish. A parrot.
I would probably just get another cat or two. I'm just gonna stick with what
I know. But then, as I've told you before, this is terrible. What I'm gonna say is so terrible. I don't want Dustin.
You don't want a fresh
I don't
cat.
Want Dustin and Melissa to have cats. I like the Nickerson family having cats.
Yes.
I don't like Dustin and Melissa. We never even for a second thought about getting an animal before we had kids.
Yeah.
Not for one. We never even had the discussion. it never came up as like an icebreaker.
Well, we weren't really adults.
But still, but no, we're 22, 23. People get, you know, have kids. We never one time had that conversation. So my fear, again, this is terrible. My fear is that if we got a cat in like 2 years from now to replace the one that passed away, then now we have this 8-10 year old cat. And I'm like, I'm trying to not, we're trying to be gone a lot.
Yeah. I don't want to leave you in an empty house.
Yeah. And you can't take your cat off to college.
No.
I mean, I guess if you get an apartment or something, you can. Yeah. But
my cat did run away when I went to college.
Do you think that that cat died of a broken heart?
I think so.
Because I think it died of being eaten by a coyote. I think
it was both, Dustin.
Maybe it reemerged 2 years later.
It did.
Like Yehudi, but your family just moved again. Yeah. It was like, I need a 2-year break. Oh, wait, I forgot. This family moves a lot. I should know that. I've flown over several oceans.
Yeah.
Cats get so crazy at the end of their lives. They just start to like mentally, they're like crazy old ladies or something. They just are, or men too. People just like things just get unstable.
A friend sent us a picture of the two of us in my college dorm room.
Right. Me and you?
Yeah. My freshman year. And on my bookshelf, I had a framed little picture of my cat.
Aww. Yeah. Well, I mean, at that time, we absolutely were children.
And that was probably taken like after he passed.
Yeah.
Because he left. Yeah. Immediately.
The picture of us.
Oh,
not the picture of the cat. I was like, what? I don't
know.
Still
understand. Talking about the cat.
You guys had him. What's it called when they stuff them?
Taxidermy?
No. Cremates when you burn them. No, neither were options.
Taxidermy.
He was eaten.
What the profession is.
Guys, I would love to hear your take, more and more thoughts on dogs versus cats, how you're managing stuff, you know, with the animals. If you are a first generation dog owner, let me hear about that.
Yeah.
Give me some honest hot take and stuff on dogs versus cats, because not dogs versus cats, but you know, how you manage the stuff and have you had the cat scratch the baby and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's interesting stuff, but we'd love to hear you guys' thoughts and emails on that. And speaking of which, we have a couple emails to read.
Do we?
Yeah, right here, this one. I haven't read these, so this is from Braden and Caleb. Hi, Dustin and Mel. As we were listening to your latest episodes of Don't Make Me Come Back There, and we, as two 15-year-olds, had an idea for Amanda with her sleepwalking night terrors and peeing everywhere children.
Yes. Amanda's infamous children.
Right. Before we get into that, our names are Braden and Caleb, just FYI. Anyways, let's get to the ideas. First, we would like to say, again, we are two high school students and we each have 4 or more younger siblings. We are professionals in this category. The first thing Amanda needs to do with her sleepwalking child, she needs to buy some bungee cords. And before her son goes to sleep, bungee cord him to his bed. If we ask why, tell him he's now, it's a new sleeping trend. Then grab some essential oils just to sell the sleeping trend thing a little more. And with the child that has night terrors, show him a couple of horror movies just to show him that his night terrors aren't that bad. Before we wrap up this email game, we want to say that we most definitely, no doubt about it, are pros in this field. Thank you, Braden. That's a nice flashback to the bad parenting advice.
Essential oil, bungee cords.
Bungee cords and horror movies. I mean, some of that was an aspect of my childhood growing up, and it did not help. So thank you guys for being listeners of the show. This one right here, this one is somewhat related to animals, and this is for me and Steven, but Steven's not here. So here you go. Dear Dustin and Melissa, I totally resonated with your last spot. This is from Jesse. Jesse's a great backseater. Listening to Bob's Smiley talk about bombing and suffering from performing withdrawal in 2020, it made me think of a competition I'm having with another performer friend about which one of us is bombing worse this summer with our quarantine performances. Quick backstory. My friend and I are the Bug Man and the Reptile Guy.
Yes.
Yeah, we are your popular full-time professional local performers, totally struggling for work in 2020, just like comedians are. We both do a couple hundred gigs a year normally, and we've had our calendars wiped out by the virus. Probably 95% of your backseaters wouldn't know us by name, but you've all seen the local versions of us at your own school or fair or library or church, fall fest, or whatever. We are your local animal guys. We do the fun little live animal or insect acts that we all see once or twice a year. Okay, we get it, buddy. Then someone from the audience pets a snake or holds a tarantula. Some animal performers are terrible. I met Jesse. He came in one of my shows, by the way. He's great. But some of us are really good performers and write a lot of jokes into our shows and do great improv and crowd work. Anyway, the Bug Man and I are both really good in a normal year, but we've been bombing worse than ever this July for a few reasons. There's a county library that booked both of our shows for all 16 of their locations before deciding at last possible minute to cancel our in-person shows and move them to Zoom shows because the state's reopening date kept changing. Then the head event person for the library system retired. So basically nobody in the library system promoted our Zoom shows.
Good time to retire.
Plus, everyone who was excited about Zoom shows in April and May were sick of them by July. Meanwhile, we were still contracted to log into our Zoom dates and do a show with or without an audience. So the Bug Man and the Reptile Guy have been competing all month long to see who has bombed worse this summer, with our average audiences of 1 or 200 people pre-COVID reduced to 5 or 10 less on Zoom. Please pick a winner. Bugman claims he bombed the worst because he did a library show where the librarian didn't even show up to the Zoom meeting. And literally only one person signed in, set their 6-year-old in front of the webcam and left.
Of course.
And Bugman had to perform his insect show for a half an hour to an audience of 1 6-year-old girl while she played with dolls. Until the librarian showed up 30 minutes later and asked him to start over.
No!
I, the reptile guy, believe that I bombed even worse because I technically did a show with no audience. No one showed up from one of my July Zoom shows except for one sweet librarian in her 60s. So the reptile guy had to make small talk with the librarian for 20 minutes. I know Dustin hates small talk. We waited for literally anyone to log on so we could start the Zoom animal show. Eventually, we accepted the fact that in a world of 7.8 billion people, there was actually no one on Earth willing to click a link and log into our free event during the most boring summer in the history of mankind, with very few other options available for them. Cue up the renewed feelings of rejection and sadness. So the reptile guy finally zipped through his 45-minute animal show in a half an hour from one sweet librarian and no audience. Settle a bet. Who bombed worse, Bugman or Reptile Guy? P.S. Hope this story cheers up some other comedians, performers who are bombing, experienced performing withdrawal this summer. P.P.S. Please don't mention our real names to protect the innocent. P.P.P.S. I am totally thankful for these paid Zooms, even though most of them totally bombed. Thank you, Jesse. Who do you think bombed worse? You're not a performer, but you can feel it still.
The librarian, the 60-year-old librarian.
Yeah.
That's nothing. She's just being polite.
At least she had the one girl to entertain, right?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit. I mean, to me, the answer is both. And I'm so sorry.
They're both
but
really
if
bad.
We need to settle a bet, I think Reptile Guy, you won. You won.
You won lost.
You won by losing the most. Gosh, that was funny. Oh my gosh. It makes me not want to complain about my Zoom shows anymore. Last one right here. Dear Dustin and Melissa,
summer.
This is from Logan. My little sister has a loose tooth and she doesn't want to pull it out. But the thing is, the tooth has an infection and it's starting to hurt her. In an attempt to yank it out, we waited until she was asleep and tried to yank it out. Unfortunately, she woke up screaming and now she's gone to bed. Do you have any advice? And now she won't go to bed. Do you have any advice for this? P.S. I'm a big fan of the podcast and I hope that there will be more guests, such as Tim Hawkins. Yeah, well, he's hard to nail down sometimes. Tim will just like read. I was texting Tim. Tim and I like to talk a lot about music, and I was texting him a little bit, and da da da. And I was texting, and he wasn't texting back. And then out of nowhere, completely unresponsive to any of like my 10 previous texts, He said, what's your favorite kung fu movie? Like, we're deciding which ones to watch as a family tonight. I was like, just total ignoring of the other ones. Just
yeah, total, new topic.
The loose tooth debate. Well, I mean, Logan, that's a little bit your fault. That is a really bad thing that you should do. I would say take the child to the dentist would be my first thought, is that they have...
give you a freebie?
Or drugs and a little shot, a little something.
I know, but what if it's like 50, like $100?
That's true. That's true. What are you? What would you do? Infected, loose tooth?
If it's infected, the dentist is going to get involved.
Yeah.
But there's the old... tie a string on
You've never done this.
I actually have.
When? I'm not gone that much.
No, not with my kids. When I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think people do that anymore.
I don't know. Oh, so my our little six-year-old lost her first tooth, and she did it while I wasn't here.
Right.
And you were traveling.
I didn't even notice, yeah.
So Joel told her to twist it.
Yeah.
And the twist is always the move. He pulled it out, but she pulled it out.
Yeah, the twist is the move, right? Yeah, it still hurts though.
It does hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of our kids are losing teeth right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Molars for the big ones, and then
and both of us are losing hair.
Yeah.
My advice to that would be, if that's seriously infected, would be to go to the dentist. If not, I mean, she's got to go to sleep again eventually. I would just. You've just got to be a little more sneaky.
Make her favorite food.
What I would recommend.
That's
ready. Full circle.
Yeah.
Bungee cords. You bungee that child down. And then incentivize it. You guys are fantastic. We could not ask for better listeners than you guys. We're such big fans of you. Thank you for being fans of us. Thank you, patrons who give a little more to the podcast and get a little more from the podcast. Go to patreon.com/don't make me come back there to check that out. Everybody, God bless you. Thank you so much for being good fans. If you are in Cleveland or Greenville, I keep forgetting if it's North Carolina or South Carolina. Pretty sure South Carolina. I'm going to be coming your way in October. Go to DustinNickerson.com/shows. Check out information on that. And also, if you are interested in hosting a backyard show, we're doing those. They're kind of happening on and off a little bit here and there. And shoot us an email. Go to my website. Send us a contact form. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. I wanted to give a special shout out to our designated drivers. That is our highest level of patrons. Demarius Diaz Stevens, Troy Meacham, Dave Hoagland, and Rachel Jakewith. Really appreciate your support of the podcast. If you have not already, please like and subscribe and share. Backseaters, you mean the world to us. Thanks so much for tuning in.